mics out. Hopefully we'll do the speakers a lot better than we've been getting. So, people hear us all right out there? Everybody okay on that one?
There's a wicked echo. Okay.
What's that?
There's a wicked echo.
There's an echo?
A lot of feedback.
A lot of feedback. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Is it still feedbacking? Feedback still going on?
You hear that voice again. Go ahead.
What's that? Still echoing out there? Yep. Okay.
So I'll just see if this happens. Line up. This one over there.
Can you turn this one over?
You get a feedback between.
Can everybody hear me now? All right, without an echo.
Better.
Okay, that one is closer to me then. Okay, I want to welcome again everybody here, and like I said, we're going to try these mics out. We're trying to figure out a better way to use the sound system here. Everybody please rise with me for the Pledge of Allegiance of the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next on the agenda is 1.02, which is roll call. Charles called in and said he would like to be excused tonight, so do I hear a motion to excuse Charles? Okay, Dan first, Eugene seconded. Okay, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed the same? Am I still hearing an echo? Okay, that passes. Okay. You got it that time? Is the echo still there?
No, now it's good.
Okay. Gina, you want to say something in your mic for a second? Just 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
Did everybody hear her? Nope.
There's nothing coming through anymore.
Okay.
You turned it off. When you did whatever you did, it's not coming through the mics.
Well, you're number two.
I think that the microphone in front of Amy was pretty hot, and so
yeah.
She reduced the volume on that. That stopped the feedback loop that was making that pitch and whistle. That was hearing. So everything sounds good out here now. Thank you.
Oh. Okay. Kincaid, could you say 1, 2, 3?
1, 2, 3.
Everybody hear that? Ken Johnson?
1, 2, 3.
Okay. Dan?
Okay. Ready here?
Can you hear Dan?
Yes or no?
No?
No.
Okay.
Dan, you're not turned on.
Pardon?
Your volume is not turned on.
Red light's on.
Red light's on, says on.
All right.
Now, can you hear? I can talk
about
it.
Eugene?
Learned that a long time.
1, 2, 3.
Hear Eugene all right? Okay. Mark?
1, 2, 3.
Everybody heard Mark all right? Okay. Good. Then we'll move forward. Okay. Current business, 2.01, Mecla Club presentation. Let's draw the line between the youth and alcohol. Paul Firth.
Yes.
And you want me to use this podium, right? Okay. Yeah, start the slide right now. There we go. Hey, good evening. I'm here representing the Mecla Club, or my group is representing the Mecla Club, which stands for Movimiento Estudiantil y Cultura de Latinos Americanos, which is the Latin American Student and Culture Movement at Othello High School. Back in February 23rd and 24th, this group of students and myself, along with Edie, no, you didn't go with us, along with another teacher from the high school, attended a conference, the LEAP conference in Tacoma. It's a leadership conference for Latino students to get involved with the legislation and higher education. It's one of the more expensive conferences we attend or try to attend, and so we looked around for some funding, and we were able to get some funding through the community counseling services through Edie Borgman and her help, which we really appreciated. But that funding came along with a little bit of obligation, and so we were asked to present or take to the conference the issue of let's draw the line between youth and alcohol, which worked in our favor, actually. So the students presenting this evening they'll explain what happened at the conference and why we're presenting to you tonight are Octavio Alvarez, Araceli Plasencia, Beatriz Ramirez, Jasmine Bayardo, and Jose Jardines.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Octavio Alvarez, and I'm going to introduce to you the program RUAD, which stands for Reducing Underage Drinking. The campaign is sponsored by Washington State Coalition to Reduce Underage Drinking, which is promoted by Community Counseling Services in Othello. This was our focus on the presentation at Olympia. Furthermore, some recent disturbing statistics that raise our awareness are that 14% of 8th graders in the state of Washington reported drinking in the past month. The younger you start, the more chances you have to be an alcoholic when you grow up. Secondly, 1 out of 4 seniors said that they had 5 or more drinks in a row in the past 2 weeks, which is very bad. Thirdly, more youth in Washington drink alcohol than smoke tobacco or marijuana, and we have to do something about it. Finally, alcohol is the leading cause of death among teens. We need to take action to prevent all these things from occurring, because the next death from alcohol could be your loved one. This is everything for me, and thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Araceli Plasencia. So I'm going to talk about LEAP. LEAP stands for Latino Educational Achievement Project. This is an annual convention that we each year they are doing. This promotes leadership among Latino students, and this activates Latinos in government. We participate in MAP legislative section. My classmates choose me to be the representative of Othello High School. My job was to try to persuade and negotiate with other students to support our important issue in the community that we come up with. Also, I had opportunity to see representatives and senators to talk to them and then try to tell them about the main things, like the issues that we have in our community, like underage drinking alcohol and all this stuff. So I have the opportunity, and then I appreciate it.
Thank you.
My name is Beatriz Ramirez, and what we learned at this LEAP conference were three important things from our Secretary of Representative, and they were to first graduate from high school, get a job, and get married before having children. We learned many other things, but of all that, the most important thing I learned was to keep an open mind and learn how to negotiate. It's very important to know what you're going to discuss and convince the audience about what you're talking to. An open mind of all the ideas we all peers have. Next slide. We accomplished many things. We first had to write a letter to our representative Susan Fagan, right here. To this letter, we promised. The letter is about clarifying the laws and consequences about providing alcohol to minors, and we promised in this letter to help our community. We talked to parents and store owner managers, which we already did in a PAC meeting, and we made to make posters and display them at our local businesses, and invite legislators to come to our community to talk to our students and parents. This is something we would like to do to help our community and see if we can do something to get it better and not be so, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for doing that.
Good evening. My name is Jasmine. What are the laws and consequences? I personally had no idea of the following information, and I'm pretty sure a lot of our community members aren't aware because they are recent laws. So, for example, adults who provide alcohol to teens will be fined up to $5,000 and 1 year in jail. Store owners cannot post more than 4 advertisements for alcohol outside their building. The size of the advertisements cannot be more than 32 by 50 inches, or 1,600 square inches. Signs must be more than 500 feet from school and church property. Okay, so this could be an opportunity to ask our city councils to double check the distance of stores that sell alcohol, the distance that they are found from the school or churches. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jose Jardines. What is important? What is this important? We want to have a better community. We want to prevent alcohol-related deaths. We want to increase alcohol success. We want to decrease health problems. To be able to raise awareness with our community, inform not only students, but also parents. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions, anybody? I would like to say thank you to all of you for taking a stand. You know, it's a big thing. I know in where we're living in this time, alcohol is something teens like to use. Remember when I was a teen, it was the same way. But, you know, take that stand, and I know it will pay off in the future for each one of you. And these are also students that are leaders. I'd mentioned earlier today that maybe in the future, some of them will be sitting up here, you know, running our city for us. And that's a neat thing to strive for. Go ahead.
I'd like to see the city, these people in this group get an official letter from the city thanking them for their input into alcohol in the city. I don't know if that takes a motion or just whatever, but I think they need to be recognized for what they've done and for bringing that back to the city and carrying out plans that they have made.
So are you making a motion?
I do make that motion.
Okay, Dan first, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Gina first, had the second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? Great, we're going to send you guys a letter. Thank you for your commitment.
Thank you very much. And I guess I do have one question for the council. One of those issues was checking the distance between stores and school grounds. Are there maps or other available media that we could actually measure that distance? That, like plat maps or something like that we might could have access to?
We have something that we can help them with.
Yeah? All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for coming. We appreciate it. Okay,
one other request, I'm Edie Borgman with Community Counseling Services. Before each of you have a hero card. And part of the Let's Draw the Line campaign is having not only our legislators, our representatives, and our senator be aware of the Let's Draw the Line campaign in the state of Washington, but actually it was our police chief, Steve Dunnigan, who said, wouldn't it be great if our council members also knew about that? And so I really appreciate the opportunity to have these young people come and share as you have all said, what amazing young leaders they are, and I just am really proud of them. So the part of the Let's Draw the Line campaign is hero cards, and we're asking adults, and they also actually last week at their high school, during one of their lunch times, had a lot of youth, and they had them fill out the bottom half of the card and return it to them, and in exchange they got a wristband that has the Let's Draw the Line website on it. And so I'd ask that you would all be willing to do that. I also brought Let's Draw the Line signs, and if you would be willing after your meeting to hold one of those that we could then post on Facebook on the Let's Draw the Line campaign website, we'd love to have that from you as well and your support of of this campaign.
Great, thank you, Edie. Okay. Thank you again for coming, everybody. That was awesome. Okay, 2.02, Comprehensive Plan Review, Transportation Economic Development. Daryl.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Daryl Piercy, City Planner. In our continuing adventure of comprehensive plan review and completion for this year, we are moving forward into the next section of goals and policies for council consideration. But before we do that, I would just like to go back to the last meeting's elements, the capital facilities plan, to see if there's any additional comments or questions after having a chance to further give those some thought and consideration over the last month or so before we move into the next section that we'll be discussing this evening.
Any questions for Daryl? Oh. Nope. Go ahead, Daryl.
Hearing none, then tonight the intent is to speak to the issue of transportation goals and policies in the comprehensive plan, as well as those for economic development. And I think perhaps what you're beginning to see is some relationship between the goals and policies for each of these sections. For instance, the transportation policies certainly have a lot to do and interplay with those policies that you've already reviewed and discussed in regards to housing densities and location for commercial and industrial districts. Because the transportation network directly is affected is complements those land uses that you've already identified in terms of your goals and policies. So what the transportation element does in terms of goals and policies for the comprehensive plan is really just set forth some basic guidelines and principles. One of those is to provide for a process, which the city already does, to maintain the existing system of roadways that we have, to ensure that we provide for adequate maintenance and that we preserve and have a preservation plan for the roadway system that already is within Othello. And then it also identifies the types of street systems that we have and how those are categorized, as well as identifying the needs for future use. And again, all of those elements play very closely with the capital facilities element that you've just reviewed, so that we have a capital facilities plan that sets forth the dollars associated with the needs and preservation and construction plans that actually put the programs onto the ground to provide for that preservation and new construction in our transportation planning. In addition, you're taking some steps that are outside of this comprehensive planning process but are vitally important to the comprehensive plan and fit nicely with that. I believe several weeks ago you heard a presentation in regards to design standards that play into the elements of the comprehensive plan and are consistent with the policies that you would be looking at that are before you for consideration tonight. So I hope you're beginning to sense this interconnectivity and really a completion of the entire loop from capital planning to system design and analysis to actually policies and goals within your comprehensive plan that put the whole thing into motion. And that's really what's happening in this transportation element that's before you for consideration. Are there any questions or any comments in regards to the goals and policies that are outlined here that have, again, just a reminder, been through the Planning Commission and are being brought forward for your consideration prior to moving them into the overall comprehensive document that we'll be bringing back for your review and consideration later in the year?
Well, from my reading of it, I really enjoyed what they put on here, some of the things like policy ED 2.1, support the development of low interest programs for downtown improvements that would reinvest in downtown buildings, enhance appearance of downtown areas, and create a cohesive image for downtown. I appreciate they put that in. You know, I know the beautification committee's working on trying to do things, and this could be another step moving forward, and there was other comments about beautification and things under that. And, you know, it's important to keep our community looking nice and attractive to people.
And Mary, you jumped ahead just a little bit into the economic development section, but again, I think that's also ties in again to these overall policies. We have both transportation and economic development before you for review this evening. And under that economic development section, there is quite a bit of discussion that supports the development of local businesses that encourages a main street that's vital to the community and is prosperous, and that the city takes proactive steps to ensure that the main street or the business community within Othello is vibrant and has the support from city government that you can provide through your abilities allowed for under the law. So it does set forth a program that provides city support to the private business group to ensure that they're as successful as they can be within the city of Othello. And clearly, I think, sets a very strong message that that you really do support and encourage that development of local business, and will do and adopt policies that continue that support as you've shown in the past.
There's a couple things in that economic development one there, 2.5 and 3.1. We're referring to Grant County. I think we should put that as Adams County or this region, one or the other there.
I agree, and I apologize for that. It really should be regional, and again, I didn't want to change things as they were adopted by the Planning Commission, but as we go into a final process, particularly with the Cooley Corridor and that tourism effort, I think we want to recognize that regional effort that's taking place, but we also want to specifically support the tourism activities that are taking place in Adams County, so we'll make that correction.
Yeah, that Cooley Corridor is actually four counties, actually five counties, but so it, yeah.
Any other comments by council? Okay, anything else, Darren?
That's all we have for the comprehensive plan review. I do want to let you know that the intention for next month is that I bring in a series of maps that were reviewed and sort of put together by the Planning Commission, so we can talk about those areas of the city where future growth would be occurring. And I think it will provide for a pretty interesting hands-on discussion, give you the chance to give some pens and put it on paper, make circles and draw arrows, whatever you would like to do, but begin to identify those areas where the council sees, based on the Planning Commission recommendations, where those future growth areas for the city of Othello should be. And I actually think it'll be a very interesting exercise. It kind of gets us off of this dry part of the comprehensive plan that's all words and policies, and really gets us some hands-on effort using some mapping tools. So look forward to that. We'll get some information out to you before your next study session on how that might work and what it might look like and what the Planning Commission recommendation is. But I just wanted to give you a heads up that we're going to have a little different approach to what we're doing next month, and I think it'll be a little more enjoyable than just reading through policies and goals and actually begin to see that vision of where Othello is going to move to. So I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, thank you, Darrell. And also, would you tell the Planning Commission thank you for all their hard work? They're doing a very good job, and we appreciate it. So
we'll be sure to pass that along. The Planning Commission did spend, I think, well over 18 months in this similar review process, and I think really put in a great deal of time and effort on putting this process together. It's a big effort, and as you can see, it takes some time to go through all of the material, but it'll be worth the effort when we complete it.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, resolution to set building permit fees. Darrell again.
Well, thank you again, Mayor and Council. You may recall that several years ago, in 2010, we revised the fee schedule for building permits and actually lowered the fees that were being charged at that time for building permits within the city of Othello. And the process that ensued really has been working quite well. And I think people have received overall the building permit schedule and the fees associated with that quite favorably. And as you talk to some of your larger builders in town and the active builders, I think they recognize that Othello is on par now with neighboring communities, and you're no longer the leader of the pack in terms of high building permit fees. But that said, after 2 years of experience, there are some areas where I think we can continue to improve upon that that history. And specifically, one of those is in smaller projects where somebody comes in and wants to build a small shed in their backyard that's larger than the permit threshold, which is 120 square feet. But it isn't a terribly large project, and the value of it is generally under $2,000. And in the past, the way our current formula is established under resolution, it actually gets to be a pretty, potentially a fairly expensive building permit in relationship to the overall project. And to give you an example, if you were to build a shed and the value of that is $2,000, your building permit fee is almost $300. And frankly, for a project of that size, it seems a little high. And the reality is we want to encourage people to get that building permit. We want it to make it convenient, we want it to make it quick, and we want it to make it relatively inexpensive in relationship to their project cost, so that we'll have an opportunity to review that construction and ensure that it's done in a manner that's compliant with the building code and provides for a safe structure in the future for future residents of that property. So our goal is to get people to apply for those building permits so we have an opportunity to inspect the project. And frankly, I think under our current code structure, for those smaller projects, people might be trying to duck that because of the cost of the building permit. So what we're proposing is that for those smaller projects under $2,000 in total value, that we simply have a flat fee of $75. And that $75 covers the minimal plan review that typically goes along with that type of project, and would also cover the inspection that's necessary once that project's completed. And so city costs would continue to be covered, but we would provide for an incentive for those projects to be to come into the office to seek out a building permit and to have the proper inspections done. So the major thrust of the proposed change is in that lower end value project under $2,000. There's some other minor cleanup changes that are taking place that are being recommended, and they're highlighted in yellow on the existing adopted resolution 210-07 that would go away or be modified under the proposal that's also in your packet. And in general, what is happening here, for instance, in number six, it would simply eliminate that permit process because we no longer utilize that. All of those elements that are shown there are handled in a different manner than the permitting process under a $20 fee. So we simply no longer a valid section of our resolution. Plumbing permits and other mechanical permits are all done under a flat fee, and that is reflected in the revised wording. So it's to clean up some of those modifications that were done to the international code back in 2009 that weren't picked up in this resolution, and it will just make for a much cleaner process in terms of issuing a building permit with those modifications. But again, the major change is to provide for a more appropriate fee based on the value of the project and provide encouragement for those folks who are doing smaller projects, weekend projects, if you think of them in those terms, that typically are things like small sheds and other home improvements that generally don't get us into a level where we're dealing with a lot of plan review and numerous inspections. So we'll be bringing this forward to you after tonight's discussion, if you concur, and seeking a modification to the resolution that would adopt this revised fee schedule and also clean up that language in the remaining portion of the resolution.
Got one question here. We changed the low scale there, $75 up to $2,000 in value, but then we dropped back in the second phase back to the $69. I know we're only talking $6, but I think that ought to be the minimum of that $75 should hold true in that section, so we don't get a confusion there. You know, I've got one here that I can get $6 less, so I'm going to get $2,000 permit.
I think that's a real good point.
So okay. I think you need to change, and you may have to adjust the other figures, that $6, to make it come out mathematically, I guess you'd say. So.
No, that's a very good point. Thank you.
No, and I really agree with this schedule that you come up with, because this is something that we could eventually post on our website. So the person that could get onto the website, apply for his building permit online or on the website, we'll know exactly what his fees will be for that permit when he applies for it.
And that is our goal. And again, the whole process, we want it to be as convenient as possible so that we can encourage the use of our process and ensure safer building in the city of Othello. So I think that ultimately is our goal, is to make this very convenient, and if people can do it online, that's, we're getting more and more used to conducting business that way, so that's certainly our goal.
Any other questions or comments for Daryl? Okay, thank you very much, Daryl.
Thank you.
Okay, 2.04, signage of SR26. Terry.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Tonight I'd like to talk a little bit about signage on SR26. A couple of council meetings back, the citizens came to council with a request to have population and elevation signs put on the entering Othello signs out on 26 east and westbound. I contacted Phil Mayor, WSDOT, Washington State Department of Transportation. He gave me a price of $765 for two signs with population only. Paul's response to population and elevation on the same sign would make the sign too busy for motorists to read, and they normally only put elevations at summits. In the future, this city, if the city wanted to change the population sign, he would do an overlay for a minimum fee to the city. Now, this fee of $765 is going to get you a couple signs like that, a couple new posts, a couple of state workers, and some concrete to put them in out there, and they'll maintain them. If you want to do an overlay of that population sign right there, it'll be a minimal cost to the city as the population grows for them to change.
Do they mention at all how much?
They did. They didn't mention the minimal amount at all.
Okay. Any questions? One of the things for the council to consider is there's a new population census coming out in June. So I like the idea of what Sisson brought up here. Maybe we want to consider holding us off until June and see what our population is, so we just don't throw it up and turn around and have to change it 2 months down the road, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that'd probably be a good idea to hold off till then. Does that sound good to everybody?
Yes.
Okay. I like the idea of the whole deal, and I think it'd be good for, there's a lot of people on that road going through there, so. Okay. Thank you, Daryl. Or Terry? It's the hair, sorry. No. Okay. Proposed changes to council rules of procedures and conduct. Amen.
Thank you, Mayor. The council rules and procedures of conduct that you conduct your meetings by was first adopted in 87. It's been a long time ago. They were amended in 2002. And we'd like to propose some changes to the council for your consideration. Some of these are just kind of housekeeping issues. Others are more relevant because of the complexities of municipal government today necessitate updating of the rules and procedures. So we'll walk through these, and if you you have your council rules and procedures booklets on your board docs there. So I'll just mention the section number and then suggest a change. First of all, the first page, it does not have our current logo on it. So we would like to replace the old logo with the current city logo. Second item we'd like to address with the council is section 2.6, and it identifies a city clerk as a parliamentarian. And that's one of these changes that have happened through courses of time. And we would like the council to identify the city attorney as our parliamentarian. Section 2.7 and 2.6 go together. Section 3.3, for a long time we all thought that a mayor could call a meeting of the city council. And this last year, when we had a need for a meeting to be called, for some reason we decided, well, we better look it up. And lo and behold, the mayor cannot call a meeting of the council. Only the council can call a meeting because it's your meeting. It's a council meeting, not the mayor's meeting. So we need to change that in your policy and delete special meetings may be called by the mayor delete the word by the mayor, so it just says the council can call a meeting. Now, that doesn't mean the mayor can't call you and ask if you'd like one, and if there's four of you that concur, then you, in effect, have asked for a meeting. Then the mayor notifies staff. We go through the process of notification of a meeting. But you, as a council, need to identify you want to meet. Section 3.5 is another one of these issues that the municipal workings just dictate that at times we may need to take an action at our workshop. So there are only two kinds of meetings. There isn't a workshop meeting. There's a regular meeting and a special meeting. And in a regular meeting, you can have a workshop if you want, but it's still a regular meeting. Special meetings are different. Special meetings are only called for specific items. You can't talk about anything except what's on the agenda. They can't be dollar issues. There are certain requirements, criteria, that you have to follow when you call a special meeting. However, a regular meeting you can vote in. You have decided, or previous council have decided, that there'd be no action taken in a workshop portion of a regular meeting. Now, as you've all come to learn, there are times that we need to take some action, and we would like to have that ability. We would still call workshops in a regular meeting, but we would like to delete a section that says that it's just discussion and conclusions, and add the piece that allows a vote if needed. We would still follow our process of workshops, but it allows us, if need be, to put an action item on a regular council meeting, which is your first meeting of each month. So we would like to have consensus to do that. And in 5.1, if you're following along, insert unfinished business. This is your list of items that are the agenda process. It does not have unfinished business, and we have had that for a long time. We just want to consolidate what we've been doing in the rules of procedures. Then section number 8, the change to the title of the chapter. It used to say citizens' rights communications, and we would like that to say citizens' communication. So that would be a change. Then in section 8, and I want to read through this because it addresses 8.1, how to address the city council. Addressing the city council. Any person desiring to address the council by oral communication shall first secure permission of the mayor. That's if they're sitting in a room, they have to raise their hand and the mayor acknowledges people. This shall be done by raising your hand and being acknowledged. Preference will be given to those persons who have notified the city clerk of their desire to address the council and provide their topic by noon of the Thursday immediately preceding the Monday council meeting. Now, most of that is the way we've been operating, that if whoever wants to talk with the council notifies the clerk Thursday previous to the Monday meeting, their name goes right on the agenda, and then the mayor can acknowledge them. The mayor has done some had some discussions and is asking the council to add the words and provide the topic. In other words, that's so you know and the audience know what the topic of discussion is going to be if it's on the agenda. Noon, Monday council meeting, so that their name may be placed on the agenda. The agendas may include a time to call for citizen input. Citizens may be directed by the mayor to go to the microphone and, speaking clearly, state their name and address. And then the rest of it is all standard response. So with those, we are asking the council to concur and bring those forward in form of a resolution to your rules of procedures at the next meeting.
Questions? No. No questions? Okay. Thank you, Amos.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, 2.06, monthly investment report.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the council. I'm going to sit down on my computer so I can run through this.
changing the 12-month window, so I dropped off the first month and added the new month. And so we're always in the 12-month window. It's pretty exciting to see on this one right here that the local government investment pool went from 0.1236% interest to 0.1329. Right, anyway, that was like a gain of, you know, a view is almost $30. I'm pretty excited about that. In our Bank of America portfolio, the value of it went up by about $6,260. And that's pretty much, sum total, but I did include some other paperwork with this just to let you know that the numbers that I am providing are numbers that come from our investment people and are shown on our portfolio, et cetera. But if you have any questions, I'd be happy to.
Any questions on this part? No? Okay. Anything else, Mike?
Thank you.
That'll be it then. Okay. Committee reports. We have any committee reports? No committees have met? Okay. Unfinished business? Okay, new business. All right, then mayor's announcements. I'll do that. We have a public hearing on April 23rd to discuss a transportation benefit district with the public for a second time. The staff is preparing a fact sheet relating to funding street improvements. This fact sheet will be available this week. Please share it with your friends and neighbors to see if it answers their questions. So we'd like the council to take to some people, let them look at it. You know, when we make up some of these sheets, we more or less understand it. So we want to make sure that the citizens out there can understand it at the same time. So we'd like somebody to take it to your friends or whatever and say, hey, read this and tell me what it says or something like that. So then we'd like to put it in the paper. And then Molly Clippert. Okay, our new Parks Rec Coordinator will start on Monday, April 29th. So she's just a week away. Excited to have her come on board. And is there any other issues the council want to bring up? Okay, then, okay, we're going to executive session here. Let me get up the, okay, the council will now adjourn into an executive session pursuant of RCW 4.42.30.110, (1)(b), to consider the selection of a site or the acquisition of real estate by lease or purchase. The executive session is expected to last 30 minutes. No action will be taken during the executive session. Thank you, everybody, and Eamon will stay, and rest of everybody else can go outside if they want to wait.